Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Amy Beth Shaver with Allison Sinclair and JP. We are joined by Al Gopp, the Alabama GOP president, John Wall, first time on our show.
President.
I mean, he's in charge. He's the big chief. He's
chairman.
He's the chairman.
President.
Well, yeah, I just,
look,
you know, all the words.
I accept chairman. Yeah, I accept chairman, president, commander in chief, you know, supreme leader, whatever you want to call me.
John, thanks for joining us. I don't know if you can see the picture we have of you up on the live stream, but it's very, you got a serious like fist pump, like looking strong. Yeah.
The Trump rally picture. I like that. I'll take that.
Yeah,
I'll take
it's that. Yeah, it's good.
It's good. So How are you today? Where are you today? Are you traveling the state?
So believe it or not, this is my, I was figuring, looking at my calendar, this is one of the first days I've had home in about 3 weeks. I've been on the road nonstop. So I'm actually home on the farm today.
Oh, wow. Home on the farm.
Or right now. I was off the farm earlier, but I'm home.
It must be nice to be home.
It is. I'll tell you, I am not a politician by trade. I'm definitely a farmer at heart. And so I always joke with people when they talk, you know, I'm working on a deal on the net, you know, with something with the Trump administration or, you know, position with the RNC or Southern region. And I always say, it's amazing how a farm boy from North Alabama can make people think he's important. I love that.
Well, you've done a good job because you're pretty much everywhere these days. We wanted to start out, Abs, you had a question about party stuff.
I do. So let's talk about the Republican Party in Alabama. Could you talk to us about the state of the party?
So, yeah, I mean, look, the Alabama Republican Party is incredibly strong. And I love that. This is the party is near and dear to my heart because I really feel like if we're going to affect permanent change and restore America, I like to call it restore rather than, you know, there's different terms, but restore America to the vision of our founding fathers. You know, the ideas of freedom and liberty, constitutionally limited government, putting people back in charge. If we're going to do that, the vehicle that best helps us accomplish that is the Republican Party. There's no other organization I know that can do it. And it's why I think we have to remain vigilant and we have to restore the party first. So then the party can have the influence it needs to have governmentally. And so I think it's so important that we make sure the party is strong. We make sure that it's standing for what's right. The platform, we hold it true. Because at the end of the day, the Republican Party is not great because of our name. It's great because of the values we fight for. And that's my heart. And I think I love to see Alabama staying strong. Our party, you know, financially, we're strong. Influence, you know, getting more into legislation and standing for the principles we believe in when it comes to what our state, you know, legislation of our state passes, interacting with candidates just across the board. I like to see where Alabama's at right now.
From a national committeeman, and you are the vice chairman of the South. Tell me what you are.
Yeah, so I'm technically RNC vice chair, but there's four regions.
Okay.
So I'm vice chair for the Southern region.
Okay. So from a national RNC level, we are seeing a kind of split, some fault lines develop in the party. This whole America First versus MAGA versus I don't traditional kind of old school Republican conservative. What do you think we need to do? First of all, what's your view on that? Is it as dire as it seems? And if so, what do we need to do to win in the midterms and win in this next election? Because right now, I'm hesitant to say that we're on the right track.
Yeah, look, I agree. And I think the first thing is we've all got to step back, take our eyes off of each other and look at our enemy, which is not other people within the party, whether that's the fight between Thomas Massie and Donald Trump or vice versa, or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Tucker Carlson, whatever it is. Just stop and say, look, we Republican conservatives within the conservative movement, people who genuinely care about America and actually believe in the Constitution and limited government, we've got to stop fighting with each other and keep in mind who our real enemy is. And it is the godless, American-hating socialist left. And when we put that into context, I think we can have that common enemy. I think we need to get back to that. Look, the questions and the squabbles over is this right or is that right, we need to have those conversations. But I think they need to be more behind closed doors. Figure this out. There's going to be differences within the Republican umbrella. That's healthy. That's good. that's fine. But at the end of the day, our most ardent fire and what should be our priority is keeping the, you know, keeping the main thing, the main thing. And that's fighting for the future of America.
Go ahead.
I just was going to ask, do you think our tent has gotten too big?
Well, I don't think the tent can get too big if the values underneath it remain.
Okay. Yep.
True, right? Like that. Look, if you want to put yourself under the Republican umbrella, I don't care, you know, where that comes from or who you are. That's great. But don't come in and try to change our platform. Don't come in and try to, you know, say something that, you know, advocate for policies that are not Republican. But as long as you're willing to stand on Republican values and for freedom and liberty, no, we embrace you.
So I know hopefully you can stay through the break because we have questions state level for you about some issues that we know you're working on. But when it comes to the National Party and the infighting that we see, this is just off the cuff. I'm wondering out loud, how do we stop each other from having those ridiculous meltdown fights that seem to take place every, it's like cyclical, but what can we really do in those kinds of situations?
Well, look, and the first thing is, I think, and I'm a man of faith, right? And that's what drives me. I believe in God, in Jesus Christ. You know, it's not just some nameless, faceless God. Like I know who my creator is. And I think there's so much wisdom that we can pull from, you know, biblical principles into the political landscape. And I think one of those is when you have an issue with your brother, you go to them first and you talk to them. You don't go to the press. Mm-hmm. No, that's not a direct quote from the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, but and even then, if your brother doesn't listen to you, you don't go to the public. You take two or three other people with you. And I think we've got to start trying to be more diplomatic behind the scenes and working these things out before somebody tweets something or does a press release and going, look, we all care about the country. We're all patriots. Like, can we not find a way to work together? And I think the you know, one of the worst breakups I saw with this and what really broke my heart was, you know, the Elon Musk, Donald Trump breakup. Like that, what an opportunity for our country, you know, Doge, like actually cleaning out some government waste, right? Like so much opportunity. And we were able to kind of keep the team together for about, you know, 4 or 5 months. And I just hated to see it start to splinter because I think with unity, we could have accomplished so much more.
Did you see the fist bump last night, though? Like the Trump tap towards Elon? Like they were back together at dinner last night. So I'm hopeful that maybe we are mending some fences.
Well, look, and I think if they were face to face, this never would have happened. You know, it started because of the, you know, look, it's so easy when you're on the end of a keyboard or your iPhone, yeah. Or you know, to tweet something or text something that you wouldn't say to the person if they were sitting across the table from you. And I think the answer to this problem is dialogue, and it's literally sitting down and talking with people.
Okay.
Like we can find a solution.
Along those lines, I think Alabama should lead the way. I'm thinking, let us gather and reason together. Why don't we host like a debate and we can literally get up there and we can have both sides of an issue and we can talk it through like adults instead of acting like middle school girls. I don't get the Twitter fights and the calling names and all that kind of stuff, but maybe like bring back the town square where you just get together and you have a stage and you talk about it and everybody leaves and can make up their own mind. We are the party of that.
Look, that's absolutely right. The Republican Party is a party that embraces the First Amendment. Like we love open debate, right? And I don't think anyone champions that more than I do because I'm one of these weird, crazy people who actually enjoys arguing. I find a weird pleasure in it.
You're very good at it too. You do well. You can hold your own. But that's what you should do. If you have a belief, you should be able to back it up and
absolutely
confidently.
100%. Know what you believe, know why you believe it, and be able to defend it. And if you can't, then you need to go back to the drawing board and investigate it more so you do know why you believe. And look, we all could grow from those types of debates and those types of discussion because that's when you talk to someone who has a different view and they know what they're talking about, that's when you learn as a person. And so I think embracing you know, we kind of shy away from the debate, and we shy away from different opinions. I think it should be the opposite. We should embrace it. 100%. You know, I know that's going on right now with Tucker Carlson. Like, people are like, oh, he said that I disagree with him, so we're going to, you know, we shouldn't listen to him. Well, no, just because he has a different opinion, I may not agree with it, but it doesn't mean that I don't want to hear his perspective. That's right. It still adds value.
That's right.
And I think humility goes a long way. I have to admit, I didn't know what the word sequitur meant until yesterday. And sequitur has been everywhere. And so I think if we all were able to say, you know what, I am learning as we go. And you know what, you might have information that I didn't have, and I will pivot and adjust accordingly. I don't know where that that went in society to just gather the data, change your position if necessary, and if not, keep going. But we've got to go to a quick break. If you can stick around, we'd love to talk to you about libraries, kind of some of the races going on in Alabama, and see.
I'll make time for some of my favorite ladies. How's that?
Look, I told you you could stay on longer if you did a good job, but I know you're new to radio, but so far, so good.
So I passed. I passed the test. I'm on for the next segment.
Yeah. Okay. It's only been 12 minutes, so we're still determining. But stick around. We'll have John Wall on the other side. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Right Side. I'm Amy Beth. She's Allison, and he's JP. We're joined by ALGOP Chairman, President, Supreme Leader, John Wall.
I like it. You got just about all my titles.
I mean, I can add a few more in if you'd like. But just
it's okay. I don't like to show off.
He's also Vice President, Vice Chair, Vice Supreme Leader.
He does a lot of
farmer.
Things. We're lucky he's even on with us. But we have a short segment, and so my question is brief, but could you please give us an update on the state of Alabama libraries? Because you know a lot about that.
Oh, he's also the chairman of that.
See?
Yes. Yeah. No, another area. Like, yeah, taking off my party hat and putting on the APLS board hat. You guys know, but I think just at this point, pretty much everybody in the conservative ecosystem knows my feelings on this, right? Like I find it so upsetting that we have Alabama libraries that are pushing sexually explicit books, transgender books on our children. And for me, it's this simple. And I've tried to communicate this with the left. It's one of those moments where you realize there's no hope of actually getting the point across because people don't want to listen to you. But for me, it's this simple. Since the beginning of time, across all cultures, people have always protected their children, their kids, from material that is hard to understand for youth, right? Like whether it's sexual content, maybe it's violence. You know, today we don't let them buy drugs or, you know, alcohol. We don't let them smoke because we don't let them buy firearms. And it's because we recognize that there's a difference, right, between children and adults. And we want to protect their innocence. It's why we don't let kids walk into R-rated movies. Video games are rated. And I think that it's just the same content that we're fighting for here on the library level. Like, let parents make these decisions. They know way better what their children should be looking at than unelected bureaucrats in libraries. Amen. And that, at the end of the day, is this battle. It's what this struggle is about. And I'm going to tell you straightforward, I have been shocked at the resistance. And I think this goes back to the idea that for some reason, the left feel like they own people's children. They have a right to expose your children to what they want to. They have a right to educate your children. Like, the state has the compelling interest, not the parents. And I think this is probably the greatest battle of our day is for the heart and the soul and the minds of our kids. The left are after them. Socialists know this is how you get control of a country. Whoever controls the minds of children today controls the country tomorrow. And they are after our kids. We see it. And it's our job to fight it and to stop this from happening.
Yeah. Better to tie a millstone around your neck than to cause a little one to stumble. And that's, you are in a position to be able to protect the kids and, you know, there are several others on the board that are trying. It is bizarre to me how vehemently the left wants to get this garbage in front of our kids. I mean, there's no other way around it besides it's just grooming. Anyway, it's very disturbing. And even what we found in the North Shelby County Library where we are, would blow your mind of what we were up against. But y'all have come really far. I know y'all have a meeting tomorrow. Is that correct?
We do. So we're meeting tomorrow. We're actually expanding. Last year, we were at the, you know, I was submitted a code change and the board approved and we got a pass that said, look, any sexually explicit content or kind of that includes, obscenity or it's inappropriate for children, we're going to move that out of the youth section. We're going to say either take it out of the library completely or put it in the adult section. And then we're going to create youth library cards where parents can make the decision whether their children do or do not have access to it. And that happened last year. And then we're adding to that because of the feedback that we got from parents across the state, that adding to that gender ideology and the concept of more than two genders and positive depiction of transgender surgery. You know, like all these things that we're seeing, like this is not just about sexually explicit. This is about grooming kids to embrace lifestyles that quite frankly are incredibly harmful and that have they're irreversible and can destroy a person's life. And we're saying, look, just stop, like stop trying to put this in front of our kids. Let children be children and let them be innocent. They're going to come across this stuff sooner or later in life. Let's not push it on them at 5, 6 years old.
Yep, 100%. We only have a few minutes left, actually 1 minute. Real quickly, Bill Britt put out an article about Tuberville and his eligibility.
He's also put out articles about me, but yeah, that's...
take it for what it's worth. But what's going to happen with Tuberville? Do you think this goes anywhere?
Well, look, I mean, I think there are definitely going to be questions asked. And I do believe that, you know, somebody's going to do a ballot challenge with the party on his residency. But I don't see how you can argue that Tuberville is not a resident of Alabama when he's been serving the state of Alabama for 6 years in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Senate. And the Constitution is very clear. It doesn't say your primary residence has to be in the state. It just says a residence. There could be questions if it said primary residence. It does not. And I don't think there's any way, shape, or form anyone can argue there is not a residence in the state. So I think this is the left pushing that agenda.
Exit question. You ready? It's a doozy.
I'm ready.
Are you going to run for office?
Oh, you weren't supposed to ask me that on air.
Hey, good news. We're out of time. We got to go to a break.
No, look, pray. I will ask your listeners to pray for me. I want to be in the center of God's will. And if wherever that is, I want to make the best impact I can for the state of Alabama.
That's a good politician answer.
That was good.
Well played. I don't even know what it means, though. So we will all wait and see what you do. But thanks for joining us. You're welcome anytime. We always have lots of topics we could cover. So again, Chairman, President, Supreme Leader John Wall with us today. You're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Thanks, John.